Heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm Tracy Barnett, your host and narrator. Heroes, today we are finishing up our series of Gunfucks, and I had such a good time recording this series with Bees and Bee and Melissa. This session was just one of those high water marks for me. Like, it was just so much fun. Everyone was into what we were doing. It was an absolute delight to be doing it. So I really hope that you enjoy it as well. Now, with all that out of the way, let's get to the show. Phoenix, you break out, slavering, foaming at the mouth, ready to just lay waste. No one is around except for Arma and Indy. It's a bunch of bodies.
So he just carnage. Shatters through the glass, and you see head first, and then his arms are like extended behind him, kind of a Naruto run style. And so as he clears the mirror, you see he has Phoenix and Goldblum in his hands, and he just puts them out in different directions, moving his arms around, just looking like, all right, who wants the rest? I'm back and I'm ready for more.
Salut. They're all gone.
Wait, you killed the...
I dealt the final blow. I know, I'm just fantastic.
What the hell?
That was the least I could do. You died, basically. I mean, you were not here, so, you know, Indy and I did what we had to
so
do.
So both of you died, too?
You die early, and then you can get the final blows.
These are facts.
So, what bodies are left behind right now?
Yeah, we got some good loot now.
Yeah, so in terms of the actual loot, there is one whole gun, right? The Petroba ice weapon that we're I'm gonna pick all the stuff for it. But then specifically, just from this encounter, you all each get two more loot, and that's
nice.
That's before we get to the Stygian Lock, because that's coming up next.
But are there any, like, actual bodies on the ground?
There are. I mean, it's pretty much everything that was around during the combat. If we're talking video game terms, they all haven't deloaded from memory yet. Nice. So you've got three Electric Guardians, one Electric Stalker, one Ice Stalker, two Electric Aegises, that's the power armor, the management dude, and the Ango Envoy.
All right, so he's going to walk up to the management and just drop clips into him and then walk over to the angel still. Like, the whole time he's just muttering and just complaining and cussing the entire time. And he's going to go over to that and drop rounds into it too and just frustrated walk back over to everybody, put his guns away, and just he's pouting now.
Do you feel better?
No!
Could I interest you in some... Well, it's kind of, it was melted cheese, and now it has been eaten, but there is still some cheese left, and they, like, peel some cheese off their wrists.
No, I don't want your hand cheese.
Okay, you're lost.
I'm going to be real with you. The first time that I played Borderlands 2 as the Gunzerker, I had a real, real difficult time with the first boss fight, the pyro dude that you fight at the top of the like refinery. I had to do that fight probably a dozen times or more in a row. And after I finished it, I finished the fight and then waited until my ultimate power recharged for my action skill. And then I just activated it and unloaded clips into like, I understand where you're coming from.
On brand.
So, in the aftermath of this fight, the air still feels strange. And as you get closer to the lock itself, the lock that spawned this envoy, by the way, there's just this sort of live feeling in the air. The closer you get, it's almost like there's a breeze ruffling over your skin, except you can feel it through your clothes, just sort of like all over. it's just it's an energy. It's very, very strange. The lock itself, like I said, is a carved relief of like this half, the top half of the screaming head with pronounced canines and like the feathers that are coming down over the eyes. But you don't see any like mechanisms or anything on it like a lock. It's not like the goofy ass padlock that was on the bartender's shelf, right?
We have some options. We can do some graffiti, or we can focus on unlocking this lock, although I do not know how. Perhaps shooting at it would work.
All right. He's going to fire with Goldblum.
Oh, no hesitation. Good.
Okay. You fire, and all of the energy, it does two things. Are there actual projectiles involved in Goldblum?
Yes.
Okay, so the projectiles themselves ricochet like the magnetic protection in the trash compactor in Star Wars A New Hope, right? They just fire every... And like when they ricochet off the lock and hit something else, they keep going. They just like begin bouncing.
Bouncing bullets.
And all the explosive energy, like it explodes and then flares up and gets sucked back into the lock itself. And it briefly glows that sort of purplish color and then fades.
Oh, was that good or bad?
One way to find out. And I shoot it with a non-Euclidean gun.
Nice.
You shoot that goop at it, and when the goop hits it, it stops and solidifies like water hitting ultra-cold ice. And turns into a solid piece of purple whatever that is following these weird anti-geometric whirls that come out of the gun. And that whole thing falls to the ground. It looks like it's glass, but it clunks and stops. It doesn't bounce or move like super ultra dense, heavy something. And the second anyone goes close to it, not even to try and touch it, but just approaches it, it just turns into vapor and dissipates.
Okay. If I could try something, just don't even want to stone, give me a second. And they're gonna pull out their Sharpie and not even bother with shooting anything. They're just gonna write silence_411 was here.
Yeah.
Where?
That was exactly what I was gonna write on the thing.
On the lock itself?
On the tooth.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. You tag the tooth and a secret unknown quest marker pops up that says tagged the tooth but wrong. Because his name was silence_411369. And you just said silence411. So like you gave this dude a legacy of having gotten his own tag wrong.
Yep.
In his moment of triumph.
It's one way to be memorable.
Achievement unlocked. Who?
Yes.
Achievement unlocked, the sound of silence.
Perfect. And they'll like put the cap on the Sharpie. Okay, well, that was my participation. If you two would like to try again, perhaps do not shoot as aggressively. Maybe just try using your hands.
As you say, don't shoot aggressively. You see he's taken all four guns out.
Oh my God.
And he has them like, one is like he's holding two normally. And then in the same hands, he has the other two upside down and he's ready to fire all four at the same time. And you say, let's not shoot it again. And he looks at you, looks at the guns, looks at you, looks at the door and goes, and lowers the guns.
Merci. We are going to try and use our brains here. And I know that is a big task for you, Phoenix, but we can find a way.
I had a question about the drops.
Mm-hmm.
If we pick up a drop but we don't keep it, do we still get a stack for that? Or once you distribute it, the stack is gone?
You would still get a stack for it. It does not matter in this current situation because we are at the end of a quest. Mm-hmm. And at the end of a quest, everything resets. Your stacks go away. You're back to full health and full bullets. we're in that sort of denouement moment.
Okay.
If we were in the middle of a quest, you still, I think you should still get stacks for every drop that happens.
Okay.
I don't know. It may not come up again. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a question. It's a question for Adira. Adira, if you're listening, answer, mm-hmm. answer Melissa's question. So yeah, this lock's just hanging out there.
So,
all right. Do we punch this? Punch the lock?
Ah!
Maybe?
We like that idea. We have no punching skills. Our knuckles are, well, now they have cool colors, but we are busy eating cheese. If somebody else could go ahead and punch it, we will observe from a distance.
As you guys say that, you notice that Phoenix isn't where he was before. And you look back and he's dragging the angel body over to the lock. And he just picks up the body and slams it into the lock. Just poof, poof, poof. Open. Open.
The first time that the angel body hits the lock, you try to pull it back to slam again and it doesn't. That purple light sort of emanates from the lock again and burns a hole the size of the lock into the middle of the angel thing's chest cavity. And when that's done, the purple light goes away and the body like turns to goop in your hands and just begins running through your fingers.
Ew. I broke it.
Ew.
The lock itself is unchanged save for the purple light dimming.
Okay. Perhaps we could all shoot at it? I will shoot from a distance. I just don't want to get hit.
Mm-hmm. Yes. From a distance. I mean, if it's a lock, there should be a key.
Look up at the door and go, please open.
Oh, that was good. Maybe pat it nicely. Say, can you please let us in?
Well, you say that, like you just address the lock, and there is a small and gentle-looking pulse of purple energy. Nothing else happens.
Oh, that was positive. Okay, c'est bon.
Good lock. Please open sesame. arms, how the hell do you say please? In your language.
Oh, s'il vous plaît. But
that.
Yeah, s'il vous plaît, ouvrir.
So I get the impression from Phoenix. Phoenix is not a person who sits still or stands still a lot. Is that accurate?
No. So, he is the poster child for ADHD.
Yeah. So he would be like just sort of wandering back and forth in front of it, like talking as he's walking. Cool. Every time you speak and you get physically closer to the lock, you see the purple light like increase commensurate to the distance you are away from the lock. The closer you get, the brighter it gets. It just so happened that the first time you said open please, you had leaned in.
Mm-hmm. So he's like okay, I'm gonna do something.
Okay,
if it doesn't work, I want arms to have gold bloom.
Oh, vraiment? Truly? That is an honor.
And all my other guns go to you. But, yeah, I... And he just, like, goes over to the lock, grabs the lock, and says, pretty please open.
The second that your hands touch it, the purple light flares. Indy and arms... You see this flare of light and Phoenix is frozen in place with his hands on the lock, surrounded in like this aura of purple light. It's not just on the lock, it's surrounded his entire body. Phoenix, for a second, it almost seems like that same place when you broke out of the mirror. It seems like a black void. It looks like that just long enough for that thought to settle into your mind and that rage to kind of like start to kindle. And then a soft purple glow surrounds you. And you hear in your mind a very distinct voice that says,
tell me a secret.
He's gonna look around, see if anybody's around.
There's nothing around, and as you turn your head, every bit of momentum that you use turns your whole body. So like you turn your head, and the rest of your body follows. Like,
does it have to be super secret?
Tell me a secret. Oh,
that's super creepy.
Like arms to Indies, like, do we know what is going on? They're acting awfully strange.
Fine. If you tell anyone this, I swear to God, I will bring all sorts of fire, and whatever it takes to kill you, I will kill you. But...
The suspense is killing me.
I send a card to my mom every year. And a care package. And a teddy bear. That's it. I'm done. No more.
There is a slightly brighter, like, shade of the same sort of purple light that begins, like, crackling around the area that you're in, Phoenix, and the two of you see, like, brighter, pinkish lightning begin to, like, crackle around Phoenix's body, and obviously it looks really scary for a second, and then you realize it's crackling around the light that's around Phoenix, not Phoenix himself, and it gets to a point where it surrounds his entire form. Phoenix, it's surrounding the entire, almost like you're in a sphere of some kind, and when you turn around and it reaches sort of a point that's behind you and closes like a web, and the two of you outside, same thing, the light crackles around and gets fully engulfing Phoenix's body, it all zaps back and into the rock wall. When it does that, Phoenix, it lets go of you and you're standing in front of the Stygian lock. The mouth part and the angel eyes, the angel wings shift up, and you see two, like, eldritch eyes looking at you from behind these stone wings. And then the entire thing, the massive area of the rock face in kind of an arc, dissolves like it was never there at all. Again, very video game style. And this purple light is shining out of this thing, and there is a massive, like, sarcophagus shape in front of you that looks like it once held the body of an Engo envoy, and from inside glows loot.
Ah, magnifique.
You just gotta know how to talk to it, you know, just...
Oh, because talking is your best skill, as we have all noticed, right, Indy?
Whispering sweet nothings by chance?
Hell no. The hell is wrong with you? I just yelled at it and had a battle of wits.
Oh.
And won.
Oh, that sounds very incorrect, but sure.
Wow.
I mean, the proof is there. There is loot, and that is.
I was about to say, you see the loot.
Yes.
So obviously I won. I won. 100%. I didn't break anything.
In addition to two additional points of loot for each of you from opening up the Stygian lock, there is also another weapon that we're going to roll that is a Services Unlimited, like, ultra bow. So it's like a bow and arrow, except that when you take it, what would be the bowstring is like crackling purple energy, and you don't ever knock an arrow into it. You just make the motion like you are, and when you draw your hand back, this like teal arrow appears and the bowstring stretches back, and that's how you fire it.
Dang.
That is so
awesome. I want that in real life.
Right? That is the end of your quest, and as you make your way back to Actually, you don't even have to head back to the same town if you don't want to. You can head somewhere else in the world, whatever you prefer. But you're on basically this hyper train traveling somewhere across Daemon, and you get to go through all your loot. The first two things, the first weapon that you get that you got was the Petroba Industries, the hand cannon, right? That used the 60 caliber ammo from the corporate guy. The name of the weapon, whoever wants to write this down can, is Frost Maiden.
Ooh, yeah.
Does anybody want to claim that one? Or?
Let me finish detailing it with you. So it is a mythic, which means that twice per turn you get to make a free bonus attack.
Oh, yes.
And it has the ability of Shatter. So when you activate it, you deal one ice harm to a melee enemy for each uncollected drop that's sitting on the battlefield. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So if that's you take down really a bunch cool. of enemies, you can then just punch with this gun and it unloads frost into someone equal to all the uncollected drops.
Phoenix?
Oh my god.
Indeed, that might be more your style just because you two tend to go into melee range, whereas I will avoid it until the bitter end.
Yeah.
I'm just
I would like to bid for it because if I get it, I am a god.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Because that's like four attacks per round I can do.
So many attacks per round.
Yeah. Plus I can match it up with one of my other, because I have another gun that does avalanche.
Ooh.
And it make a charge whenever an enemy dies from ice harm. Activate this to deal one ice harm to a far enemy per charge marked, then remove all charges.
I think that's yours.
So,
I think it's yes. got a name on it.
He's just gonna hold it like a newborn and just, and just rub his face against it.
Tongue gets stuck. Just kidding.
I'm just going to leave you. You're fine.
The other, the bow thing is again Services Unlimited, and the name of it is Gateway to the Realm of Monsters.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
It is a double-elemented weapon. It is both monstrous and non-Euclidean. It has the two quirks it has. The first is Tooth and Claw. You mark a charge when allies make melee attacks. Activate this to roll bonus dice on your next attack for each charge, then remove all charges. The other thing it has is Ghost Lock. So you can mark a near enemy. The next time it's activated by the GM, they do nothing and instead clear this mark. The GM may immediately activate them again if able. So you can basically lock an opponent from doing anything. And also every time your allies wade into melee combat, you get stacks of, you get charges with bonus damage.
Indy or I think that would best serve.
I feel like you should just have it because it reminds me of like those cheese wires.
Yes.
Nice. It really does.
Oh my goodness.
So it's thematic.
Oh, that is so beautiful. All right. For that purpose alone, never mind how cool it is, only because it reminds us of a cheese wire.
And I can see a moment after everyone's gone to sleep where Arm is looking at this and has a Sharpie out and changes it to Gateway to the Realm of Munster.
Yes! Writing that down, thank you.
It's just thematic.
Yeah.
It has to
have. Now, you all have a number of loot. And loot is basically it's modifiers that you can make to your rolls for random weapons. After a quest, we roll for three random weapons. Since there are three of you, I figure each of you should roll for a weapon. And the way this works, it's all on pages 16 and 17 of the PDF. So...
thank you.
You can spend your loot to do a number of different things, right? You can modify any of these any of these things. So you can spend a loot for plus one for each loot spent to add to your rarity roll, right? Like you have to get a 9 for it to be mythic. So say you have 5 loot, you can turn that into plus 5 for just the rarity roll, and then everything else rolls normally. Does that make sense? So I think each of you has, what, 5 loot? Is that the number? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is it 5 or 6?
I got 5 down,
You can...
all right, that's perfect.
Oh, I think
It should be five. Because you got one from the first one, two from the second encounter, and two from opening the Stygian lock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And then one from what you guys just got, too. So you guys would have six, right?
No. You don't get bonus loot for these weapons. These are just a thing that's in the Gunfucks book, but it's very Borderlands, so I just decided to make weapons that you found.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it.
You can spend one loot to add plus one to the damage roll. Also, if the weapon ends up being mythic or rare, you get plus one for if it's rare or mythic. You can spend two loot to pick whether it's melee, near, or far. Right? You can you get a free quirk on the weapon. Okay. You can spend two loot to get spend two loot per bonus quirk. If you want to roll a bonus quirk, and then you can spend one loot per roll to pick. You can spend one loot to pick the manufacturer and one loot to pick the element if you want to. Otherwise, it's all random. So does that all make sense in terms of how you... So yes. Each of you gets to make those decisions and roll some D6s to see...
So it's only based on the loot that we found on the ground? Like, we can't trade guns that we already have?
Yeah, it's again, this is in line with the Borderlands thing of like, there are a billion guns in the world. And when you open a chest, it RNGesuses you some random guns. Hello, heroes, and welcome to the midroll. Heroes, this week I want to talk about another project that I've been involved in that I think you might enjoy, especially if you like horror. So there's this podcast called The Secret of St. Kilda. It's an audio drama that is just absolutely fantastic. And now I realize I'm involved with the project, and so I have a whole lot of bias going into this. But I was doing the sound design. I'll talk about why that sound design work was important in a moment, but I really want to focus on the cast and on the other production staff. Everyone involved in this podcast did such a good job. The script was absolutely top-notch, it was amazingly well-directed, and every single one of the voice actors just knocked it out of the park, including Ben Meredith, who you will recognize from the Hammer of Earth series that we did here on One Shot about a year and a half ago. In fact, Ben is the reason that I got recommended for this job, and it's paid distinct dividends. If you have heard an uptick in the quality of how the music is laid into these shows and how the sound effects are added, that's all thanks to the work that I learned how to do even better on The Secret of St. Kilda. Doing an audio drama is extremely demanding on all facets, and I really got stretched in terms of the precision and the timing and the atmosphere of everything. It has increased my sort of like passive ability to do a better job with the one-shot episodes here that are a much quicker turnaround, and I really am proud of what that means for the work here going forward. So, if you like horror, and I do mean horror, even though you will get a lot of lovely, charming Scottish Island vibes to start off with, look up The Secret of St. Kilda, and you'll find a link in the show notes as well. It's really, really worth a listen. Season 1, which just wrapped up a couple of weeks ago, is only 10 episodes long. So go in, heed the content warnings, and enjoy a series that I'm really, really proud to have worked on. Now, with all that out of the way, let's get back to the show. Yeah, so Melissa, do you want to start?
Sure, yeah.
Cool, so grab a d6, we'll start with rarity. So you can roll it straight up. 5 to 8 is rare, and 9 or higher is mythic. You can spend some of your loot to add a modifier to this if you want to. Do you wish to?
Yes.
How much loot are you going to spend on the rarity?
Just 1.
Cool, so roll the die and add plus 1. You have 4 loot left.
7. I rolled a 6.
A 7. You have a rare weapon. Fantastic.
Ooh.
So on damage that it can do, it automatically is going to do plus 1 beyond what you roll because it's a rare weapon.
Okay. So I roll...
Oh, I should say also, because of that, for the Frost Maiden, the harm is 4.
Oh my goodness.
And for the Gateway to the Realm of Munster, the harm is 3.
Okay.
So, do you want Melissa to spend any loot on the damage roll?
No.
Okay.
I already get plus one, so. Mm-hmm. So it would be 2 plus 1 because the rare?
Yeah, so what'd you roll?
3.
A 3, yeah, so it does 3 harm.
And then...
You can spend 2 loot if you want to pick what type of weapon it is, or you can just roll it.
I'll just roll it.
Okay.
3 again, so near?
Yep, near weapon, no other modifiers.
And then...
For the quirks, we would need to know the element first, and we also do the manufacturer. Okay. So you can spend a loot to pick the manufacturer if you want to determine how it's styled. Because you get because it's a rare weapon, you get the rare perk that comes along with the manufacturer too.
So I will actually spend one to get the free attack.
Pick the good one.
An extra attack.
Okay, so that means that it is... Who's the manufacturer for that, then?
Oh, the Petruba.
Petruba. So, cool. So it's a Petruba weapon. Awesome. That means you're down to, what, 3 loot left?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. And then you can pick your element if for 1 loot, or you can roll.
So it's fire.
All right. Petruba fire weapon of 3 harm and near range.
Yes.
You get a free quirk on the fire table. You can spend 2 loot to get another bonus quirk, and you can either roll for that one or spend your last loot to pick it.
Let's see.
Or you can just hang out with 3 loot and save that for the next time that you roll weapons. Or would roll weapons.
Yeah, I'll just roll. Save.
Okay. Cool. So roll for fire.
Flame splitter. So 2. I rolled a 2.
Nice. Whenever you attack this turn, target 2 enemies at once. Both have to be in range.
That's awesome.
Sweet. So what you have then, I think it is, it's styled like a double barrel shotgun, right? Except that both of the barrels fire independently, and they have, like, there are built into the chassis of it, there's a switch that you can flip that takes the barrels from being parallel and jots them up and lets them turn so you can aim at whoever you want to do the 2 enemies. And it doesn't look that way until you activate the flame splitter, and then it goes weep, whoop, and then targets.
So I'm going to call this one the weenie roast.
Nice. Yes.
I want the barrels to like kind of be like, kind of like reddish, like a hot mm-hmm. link.
Yeah, very good. Very, very good. Cool. Bees or B, who wants to go next?
All right, so I will put... I really want a mythic, but I'm going to put 4 loot.
Yeah,
into the rarity roll?
That's like...
Into the rarity.
All right. Let's see it. We need a 5 plus, baby.
All right. Come on. It's a 4.
Oh. It's a rare that wants to be a mythic. Okay, so it's a rare weapon. You've got 1 loot left. Go ahead and roll your damage.
No, 2. Oh, no. Yeah, I put 4. Yeah. Damn. Yeah. All right. Ugh. All right. So then...
you're already going to get plus 1. So...
3. 2 plus 1, yep. So 3 harm.
Yep. So 3 harm. You don't have the loot left to pick the range, so just give a roll.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. 4. So
yep,
near?
Near. And then do you want to pick the manufacturer or burn that last loot?
Ooh. I kind of want to leave it to fate, but I swear before the almighty God above us, if I roll 1 more ice weapon...
Well, so this is
cold.
This is for the manufacturer.
No,
first,
I know.
So.
I'm trying to say because I'm saying like I want to spend it to choose a manufacturer, but at the same time, so help me God, mm-hmm. I do not want a 4th ice weapon, or I will only take jobs in volcanoes from now.
Yes.
All right.
So yeah, I'm gonna let the manufacturer RNGs us. Come on, 4. So, Petrima!
Okay.
Yes, I am happy with
once
that.
Once per turn, make a free bonus attack.
Yeah.
All right. And then, are you choosing your element, or are you letting it be?
No, with this, I'm definitely choosing it. No, no, no.
What
no,
you
no,
want?
No, no, no. Ooh. All right, I got fire, I got ice, and I have explosive. So all that's left is electric, monstrous, and non-Euclidean. You know what? I got two pretty badass, awesome teammates, and they have monstrous and non-Euclidean covered.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to go for electric.
All right, roll that D6. Let's find out the quirk.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let me put that down first. Electric. All right, and now the quake. All right, let's go to electric, and let's see. Come on, big money. One.
One. Shock. Deal one electric harm to all melee enemies.
Yes! Oh, that's beautiful. Yes. You know, since I never get in melee range with anyone.
You know.
Nah.
What are you going to name the weapon?
That's a good question.
Electric Avenue?
I was going to say Flux Capacitor.
Oh.
Flux Capacitor is good, too.
Flux Capacitor. No, he wouldn't know those big words. Oh, my
Give
God.
It a thought. We'll do B's weapon. We'll
yep,
circle
yep,
back
yep.
around.
Come back to me.
All right, B, you ready to roll?
All right. So I have 5 loot, a heck of a lot to work with.
Yeah, you kind of drop any on the rarity?
Yeah. Much like our friend, I'm going to try to put 3 on it and hope that I can roll a 5 or higher.
6.
No, with 3, yeah. You got to roll a 6 because remember, it's 9 and up. That's mythic.
Thank you. It's hard to see the little dots.
Yeah.
That's why I put 4 and hope for the best.
Oh, I got a 1.
Okay, did you put 3 or 4?
Well, let's just say 3 because it sucked.
Okay, so it's a common weapon.
Yep. All right. Make sure I jot that down. So I have 2 more points to work
yep.
with.
You're going
to
boost the damage or take it as is?
Oh, I'm going to boost the damage. I'm going to put it all into my damage for what it's worth.
Okay.
Which is 2 points. So best case scenario, I can get 2 or 3 harm, maybe? Wow. That becomes a 6.
Okay, so 3 harm.
Yeah.
All right, the rest is all up to fate. So roll for range.
All right. I don't have anything melee, so that... Hey, it's melee! Okay,
so add one harm to it. So now it's a 4 Perfect. Harm melee weapon. Roll for the manufacturer.
I'm hoping for cats. I got Artemis Arms. Meh.
Artemis Arms. So it's plus 1d6 to attacks made with canny.
Mm-hmm. The thing that I'm never going to use. Good.
Yeah. And then roll for your element.
Come on, something good. Ice.
Ice. Roll for ice.
That's a 6.
Avalanche. Make Ooh. A charge attack whenever an enemy dies from ice harm. Activate this to deal 1 ice harm to a far enemy per charge marked, then remove all charges.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Or mark a charge. So like when an enemy dies from ice harm, you add charges to the thing, and then you can remove all of them to target a far enemy with all of that ice.
Which is really cool. Okay.
1 per charge. Yeah.
I got me a backup option. Mm-hmm. If I ever get into range, you know? Ever get into melee. Perfect.
I think the weapon's just called Fromagier.
It's nice and fancy. Fromagier.
Well, it was called Negier. Like, it's
like
supposed
snow.
To be, like, yeah, like the snowmaker, right?
Yeah.
But you obviously are crossing it out and...
Drawing some Swiss cheese on it. Yep.
Yeah, fantastic.
We all have a theme. We gotta stick with it. Otherwise, you know, we're gonna end up like Mr. Yeah. Silence 411. We can't be branded poorly. Mm-mm.
All right. So I have 2 names that I can't decide between.
Oh, let us help.
Both kind of... it was the best I could do. I looked up stuff and I was like, this either sucks or it's way too smart for Phoenix. So... The only ones I could think of were Ohm MG,
Or, OMG is really good.
Yeah. Or the other one is the it'll just be called Revolt, and Volt is capitalized.
Ooh, my money's on Revolt.
I was gonna suggest OMG because I think that Phoenix would look at it and go, "What's OMG?"
Yeah, OMG. If only for that purpose, yes.
So yeah, there we go.
OMG.
So I think that as you are all cradling your new weapons and your new finds from this mission, the hyper train rolls on across the surface of Daemon and all of its hidden secrets. I would like sort of a moment from each of you as you are like relaxing or reliving or whatever it is you do post combat as you're moving on towards the next place. And if it helps you at all, the next place is going to be this weird little hardscrabble town called Golm's Grotto, where this guy named Grimble, who is apparently, he used to be a member of the Fragface Hunters. He is, he's got sort of an APB out, it's a bounty, for a massive croco, some big, like, Goliath-type behemoth monster called Dick Biter. And it's going to be your job to take down Dick Biter. So as you're heading toward Golm's Grotto on this hyper train, what are the parting thoughts that each of you has?
I think Arms is cradling their new weapons, like a pile of babies. And I imagine like we're sitting in like one of those in Harry Potter, you know how they have those trains with like the little compartments in them?
Mm-hmm.
I assume those are based in reality. So we've got like a little compartment for us, except it's much fancier, much more high tech. We got like a little display to like order our drinks or whatever. Or maybe it's cagier than that. But anywho, we've got this little area for ourselves, and Arms is sitting next to
Indy.
Oh my god, you have the easiest name, Melissa, but I can never remember it.
Or Indominus.
What is it again? Indy.
Yes, Indy 5000.
Like the car Indominus racing. Oh, okay.
Name. The nickname. Yes.
I like it, the nickname version. So Arms is sitting next to Indy, and they turn to her and say, "You know, that was a very good battle that we did, and moving on to a bounty, how I love them. If you ever had an opportunity to tell your enemies a secret before you killed them, what would it be?"
A secret that they'll take to the grave?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a great question. I'm pretty open about things. I have stuffed animals, but I feel like I show them to people, so it's not really a secret.
I have seen some. You've got that giant bear, except it looks more like it's black and pink. It says Snorlax on it. Yeah, secret. It's like a giant bear or something.
I didn't learn how to ride a bike until I was 12.
And then Indy pulls out a gun and puts it to Arm's head.
Yeah.
Right. Take this to your grave.
Oh, dang. Merde. Wait. Boy, I will give you a secret.
I set myself up for that one, didn't I?
Right. I will give you a secret as well. And they pull out of their pocket some more cheese and snack on it. Well, Phoenix, even you cannot tell anyone. But, and they eat another piece of cheese. I am lactose intolerant.
Oh, no.
Yes, no, excuse me. I have to go to the bathroom. It's fine. Sans de bain. You make your way there. But while I go, Phoenix, please share your secret. I will be listening. Leave my guns here.
So, Phoenix, you guys, Phoenix is just a ball of energy. But what you guys didn't realize is the whole time you were talking, you look back, and you know kids, when they fall asleep, it's in weird, like, crazy positions where arms are bent in unnatural ways. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Phoenix is taking up two chairs behind you and is just bent up in a weird man pretzel, passed out, snoring, with two guns in his hands. And the moment you walk by and you're like, "Phoenix, secret," he wakes up and he's like, "I didn't say any. And he just runs off.
Oh.
And what nobody else sees is he runs off into another room, snatches a piece of paper from somebody and a pen from another person, and then goes and starts writing furiously, stops, writes some more, and then you see him drawing something, bless his heart, in the best way he can. He's drawing his new gun.
Yeah.
And then he takes it, folds it up, puts it in an envelope, takes whatever money he got from that job, dumps it in there, puts it to be sent off, and then comes back down and is like, what were we talking about?
Secrets.
What?
Secrets? Do you have any?
I had to kill someone. Nope. No secrets at all.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for yep. sharing. Indy and I got closer, but we'll keep you at arm's length.
I don't have secrets. What do you want from
me?
Your
secret can be making up a secret. You could tell us a lie.
That's not a good secret. I like the secrets that are true.
That's too much work.
Okay, you go back to sleep. This was good. And with a bounty to complete? Oh, wow.
Idiot.
Léon dormi, c'était très vite. Very quick. Right? All right, well, I'm going to see bathroom. I'll be there for about an hour. It's been good chatting with you, Indy.
And you. And I take out my big teddy bear from my backpack and start getting cozy in my seat.
I'll kill you, Patrick Stewart.
And the last thing that we get is Arm walking toward the bain-marie in the toilet, and the camera pans out and the hypertrain is sort of rumbling across the weird and variegated landscape of Planet Daemon, and all across it is like it turns and the sun hits it just right. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 glowing purple points of light of Stygian locks that are yet to be discovered, and that is for the sequel.
Woo!
Awesome.
Loved it. Side note.
Yeah.
Everyone here at One Shot Network still very much loves Patrick Stewart. Nothing against you. You are fantastic. I love you.
Yeah, it's just a Phoenix thing.
Yeah.
That's just Phoenix. That's Phoenix. He has weird, weird dreams.
So thank you three so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, this is a blast.
It's super fun. I just wanted to say my other gun names.
Oh, please. Yeah, please.
Oh, yes.
I have a gold standard that's melee range, monstrous, covered in eyeballs, and it's called Goldie Hawn. And then I got another, it's a Petroba Heavy Industries far range, just called Ruby, and it's an electric one.
Ooh,
and nice. Then a handshake, of course, that we...
Yeah.
Nice.
That's a good
All
one.
All of mine were cheese You're named.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Again, filling a theme.
Just fantastic. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you all so, again, just so much. This was an absolute blast. Listeners, go and check out everything that these three wonderful people are doing. They deserve your time and your attention. And I appreciate them giving me both today. This is fantastic. And we can all hit stop. This episode of One Shot features music from the following artists: Detonation Blues by Fillmore, Midday March by Fairlight, Strangers by Craig Allen Fravel, and Recovery by Phantoms. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy. That's it for One Shot this week, but don't worry, we'll be back next week with an all-new series based on the Dragon Age franchise, run by our own Megan Dornbrock. I'm really excited for y'all to hear this one. Heroes, for the call to action this week, I do have something specific that I want to mention. Right now, on Itch, there is a bundle that is being run to raise money for two charities in Texas to combat all of the anti-trans legislation that's been going on there. This bundle has over 300 different contributors, 493 games, and their initial goal was $5,000. Currently, they are over $200,000 raised for these charities. That is just amazing. You can find the bundle by just searching TTRP bundle for Trans Rights Texas, and you'll be able to find it. You can also check the show notes. There's a link there. It's as little as $5 to support this bundle, and it's a phenomenal cause. This is one of those things that when I mentioned in previous episodes that there are so many things going on, this is one of those things, all of the anti-trans legislation in Texas, that I didn't really know how to address, right? It's a big topic, and there was other stuff in the world, so my mind was all this big fog. But when you see something like this, when you see something like this bundle, and you see the direct impact that it's having for the Transgender Education Network of Texas and the Organización Latina de Trans en Texas, I hope I didn't butcher that too badly, you really can see the impact that direct action can have. And you can take some action by giving as little as $5. You can help increase the amount of money that these two organizations are going to be getting. The goal has been changed, as I'm looking at this page, to $300,000, and it's already at $200,006 and rising. There are 20,000 plus contributors, meaning people who have decided to support this. I really encourage you to take what time you can and to support this. If you can't afford to support it financially, then on your social media platform of choice, just give it a shout out. There are tweets all about it. I'm sure you can find TikToks. Heck, if you use Facebook or Tumblr, I'm sure you can find a place where you can support this bundle. The bundle is running through the end of March, and I really just can't wait to see how high it goes and how much support can be given to these organizations. So check it out. Thanks, heroes.
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest OneShot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at gamemaster@oneshotpodcast.com. One Shot is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.
The history of role-playing games is weird and wild, and we here at System Mastery are determined to look through it all.
Every heartbreaker that drove a man to bankruptcy to see his vision of D&D with really specific armor maintenance rules come to fruition.
Every game where you get increasingly certain as you read it that this is all just one person's weird fetish.
Every system that painstakingly recreates how medieval life was really like, and then also you can cast Fireball.
The System Mastery podcast wallows in the filth of RPG history. Come!
Join us in the muck
at System Mastery.